On Mondays, Morning Edition is exploring the intersection of science and art. Today, we hear about a man who is acclaimed both as an artist and a scientist. NPR's Richard Harris has the story.
Princeton University sets aside special apartments for distinguished guests and revered faculty members. Manjul Bhargava moved into his last year when he became a full professor at the age of 28. It's a place to eat, sleep, and think deep thoughts, and also a place to practice his tablas. Manjul Bhargava attracts devoted crowds when he plays in public, but he also attracts crowds as part of his day job. A few weeks ago, he was the headliner at a gathering in New York's Greenwich Village. People dressed with deliberate nonchalance mill about for coffee and finger food. They've come from all over town to hear him.
I'm actually looking forward to it, because he's supposed to be a genius.
I mean, I've heard some of the mystique around the guy.
To me, what he does is very beautiful.
Hopefully I can understand everything, although I'm just an undergrad.
Barga Butt, Xander Faber, Peter Sarnak, Florian Sprung, and dozens of others settle into the room where Bhargava is to perform. His instrument, chalk on a blackboard. His art, mathematics.
It's a degree 3 polynomial lap. And so a degree 3 polynomial lap from something of rank 2 to something of rank 1 is a binary cubic form. And if you work out what that binary cubic form is for a given cubic order, it turns out to be exactly the binary cubic form that's used in the parameterization that Davenport and Hildebrand used.
Bhargava is a master in a field called number theory. Back in Princeton, he says kids encounter number theory in school when they figure out the next number in a sequence, like 1, 2, 3, 5, 8. It's the math that describes the ordered swirl in the head of a sunflower and the curve of a chambered nautilus. It's also hidden in the rhythmic patterns in Manjul Bhargava's music.
So here I'm just putzing around with long and short syllables and 8-beat cycles.
Bhargava radiates energy and youth. He says he still feels more like a student than a full professor. He takes us to one of his favorite thinking places, the garden at Albert Einstein's old haunt, the Institute for Advanced Studies. We settle on a bench under a poplar tree, and Bhargava reflects on how he's grown to see mathematics as an art form.
Oh, I've always loved mathematics since I was very small. If there happened to be a lot of oranges in the kitchen, I wanted them to be stacked up, and so I'd start stacking them up, let's say 5 on a side, and I wanted to understand how many oranges I need in order to make a pyramid that have 5 oranges on each side. Eventually I figured out that you need n times n plus 1 times n plus 2 over 6 oranges in order to make a pyramid that has n oranges per side.
At what age would this be?
3rd grade, maybe.
And your parents indulged you by going off to the grocery store and buying many bags of oranges?
I used to also stack paper towel rolls. That was one of my favorite things as well.
So this is obviously playing. You're a grown-up mathematician. You're a professor. Do you still play?
Yeah, no, the way I think about math is not that much different from when it was then. I still feel like I play around. Yeah, mathematician's life is still very much a playful existence.
I think people come up with exactly the opposite impression because their exposure to math is a whole sheet of paper a bunch of problems on it, and they have to solve the problems.
Right. No, most of mathematics is not calculation. That's one of the misconceptions about mathematics. It's really more about what's behind those formulas. What explains those formulas? What's the theory behind those formulas?
So how do you work? I mean, how do you spend your day?
I walk around and I think. I usually don't even write very much. It's mostly about thinking, throwing around ideas in your mind until you get that flash of inspiration that sort of tells you how things fit together.
Is it hopeless to try to describe to me one of the problems you're working on?
Yeah, I think it's fairly hard. That's the thing with mathematics. It is really an art just like any other, but it takes a little bit of background before you can really describe the fundamental and most beautiful problems. It takes a little bit of language. Hmm. And as you learn the language of mathematics, you learn to think in certain ways, the way a painter might be thinking about what he's going to do before he starts painting. Probably varies from painter to painter, but it's probably not words that are going through his head. It's something else.
With math, are you creating something or discovering something? I mean, don't you need to create something to be art?
Yeah, no, this is definitely a big philosophical debate in mathematics. Certainly the mathematics is already there, and we're just finding it. But the element of art is figuring out how to assemble all of the mathematics, how to present it. It's just like in music, there are infinite number of notes, a whole range of notes, and there's a whole range of rhythms, and how do you put them together so that people can digest it and appreciate it?
But math seems ultimately intellectual, and art should be about feelings, right?
Yeah, no, there's definitely an intellectual and scientific part to mathematics, there's no question, but a lot of those same kinds of feelings that come up in art also come up in mathematics, those feelings of beauty, those feelings of creative release. And it's not because of specific numbers that are there, but it's more about the whole story that was just told about a certain area of truth that you get this feeling of enlightenment.
Enlightenment? What do you mean?
Well, something that was sort of unclear in your mind before suddenly falls into place. Sort of you feel like you've learned a truth. You've gotten closer to understanding the world. It's the sort of the same goal when you write novels or paint paintings. You're sort of trying to represent some truth in a language that's not everyday words. And that's a lot of what mathematics is about as well.
Maybe it's a different palette, because with art, it evokes a whole range of emotions. Maybe that's too much to expect from mathematics.
Oh, certainly. I haven't seen crying too much. But laughter certainly happens quite a lot, or surprise.
Some of those emotions bubble up at the math seminar in Manhattan. Lucien Spiro and Florian Sprung marvel at the way Manjul Bhargava wove together seemingly unconnected ideas to reach a surprising and elegant conclusion. Helena Coppola says she found it beautiful.
Beautiful in the sense that it makes your brain happy. If you look at a beautiful piece of art, then it's often something that excites a lot of emotions. And then a piece of mathematics that has a lot of these connections also gets your brain moving. Kind of.
Well, he's certainly an artist in mathematics, yeah. Like a painting.
There was a lot of beauty. I would link this to Mozart's last symphony, 41, I think. But at some point he introduces five different canonical layers, which had never been done before. That's what I would compare it to.
They say if we could but speak the language of mathematics, we would appreciate the artistry as well. Richard Harris, NPR News.
Manjul Bhargava plays the tabla and discusses the links between numbers theory and the arts at npr.org.